Hier hebben we dus James Moore, een van de twee auteurs van Darwin's Nobele Streven. Een boek over hoe de probleem dat Darwin had met de slavernij aan de basis zou liggen van, onder meer aan de basis zou liggen van zijn evolutietheorie. James Moore. 2009 is the year of Darwin, being it 200 years since he was born. Now, that means there's a flood of publications about Darwin and his life and analysis of his work. How can you still find an aspect of his work that's important enough to write a book of 700 pages?
Well, 200 years after Darwin was born, and we still haven't learned everything about him. Mm-hmm. 200 years after many famous people's death, we still haven't learned much. But particularly so because Adrian Desmond and I wrote an enormous biography of Charles Darwin, just published in Dutch last year. And why another book? The reason is rather why you had a Star Wars 2 film after a Star Wars 1 film. Star Wars 2 was the prequel to Star Wars mm-hmm. 1. Star Wars 2 explained this background to Star Wars 1, and our book, Darwin's Sacred Cause, answers an unanswered question. Why did Darwin become a transmutationist? Why did he live so dangerously? Why did he risk everything to teach a bestial human evolution? And our answer simply is that he was passionately opposed to slavery.
Yeah. And you say it's a very important factor in this work, but why wasn't it noticed before then?
Oh, it has been noticed before, but it hasn't been given the press coverage it deserves. Yeah. It runs through our biography of Darwin like a golden thread, but we've brought all the golden threads together in the new book and made it into a rope, and that rope bears a lot of weight.
So there's a lot of attention for the people who are against slavery in your book and their arguments. But the people who were before the slavery, the slave traders and the people who owned the plantations, where did they get their argumentation? Because it's supposed to the classical story of the Bible and Christianism being only one kind of man, one species.
That's an excellent question. Christians through the ages have thought of ways of rationalizing mm-hmm. the inferiority of black people. Mm-hmm. Some people went so far as to call them animals or to treat them as animals. Others said they are just inferior forms of human life, which we are responsible for taking care of. It's our duty to lift up the black man, bring him to civilization, Christianize him from his savage ways. There was this patronized, we would say, racist attitude towards black people amongst Christians throughout Darwin's life. And the most advanced scientific thinkers were saying that really black and white people, the different races, are separate species, totally unrelated to each other. And that was the rising new hardcore science.
Yeah, but it was opposed to what was written in their Bible and so where did it come from?
Well, there were some people who completely rejected that hardcore science and read the Bible in a way that enabled them to say that the black people were being penalized because of the sins of their ancestors. So although they're related to Adam and Eve, they've sinned and they're now to be in servitude. But there were Christians who did accept the new science that blacks and whites were separate species, unrelated, but they were still made by one and the same God, and so that they were spiritually related to each other rather than by blood. Darwin would have absolutely none of that.
So you say it's a very, he was very, he wanted to oppose to that thought, and he wanted to abolish it, but why? If he wanted to do that, didn't he follow the political way and staying in England and doing like his grandfathers? Instead of that, he went on a journey for 5 years.
Darwin was brought up in his family's convictions about anti-slavery convictions. He was like so many young people who are brought up to hold certain views, and they grow up, come of age, turn 21, and they hold these views, but they've never experienced the reality behind anti-slavery. And Darwin would have continued to say that slavery was a sin if he had not gone on the Beagle. But when he went on that voyage, he saw it raw, in the flesh, torn backs, and shackled human bodies. And that brought the whole thing to him in a way that, that no amount of education from his family could ever do.
But if it was so important for him, he could have stayed at home and followed the political trail.
Well, the family's anti-slavery, the Darwins and the Wedgwood, Darwin's family, were part of a large movement, a national mobilization. And that was well in hand. Darwin ended up choosing his own way, his own scientific way of contributing to that movement by making all of the races, blacks and whites, plants and animals, members of one family. He was radical in that respect. And he does that immediately. He gets home from the Beagle, which he goes and becomes an evolutionist. Yes. That is professional suicide if you're an ambitious young man. And he did it in secret. Yes. But immediately he sees that this is part of liberating. It's emancipatory science. It's about liberating blacks and whites.
But it was such a powerful motivation for him. Why didn't he publish it earlier? Because he went on the journey from 1831 to 1836. The Origins of Species was published in 1859, and even it wouldn't have been published weren't it that another scientist was also on the trail of the evolution.
Yeah, he, of course, so, he didn't know that.
But he knew it.
That's a very good question.
He had read a paper by Wallace, so he knew there was another scientist who could beat him.
20 years later. So, for 20 years, he worked alone. And it's a good question.
But he didn't publish
it.
So if he was so concerned about slavery, why didn't he publish his work early?
If he had published a bad argument for the unity of all living things in one family, if that had been a bad argument, he would have done the cause irreparable damage. He knew that if he was going to publish a theory about the unity of life, it was going to have to answer already in advance all of the objections that would be brought up against it. There were powerful forces out there, and he had beforehand to meet their objections. And that's why, one of the reasons why he took such a long time. The other reason, of course, is that he was worried about the consequences for himself and his family if he did something so disreputable as to say that apes and humans, or even blacks and whites, were related to each other. So if he had burst into print in 1839, 20 years before The Origin of Species, he would have been hammered, and he would have lost everything. He would have lost the theory, he would have lost his reputation, he would have lost the argument against slavery.
And in the meantime, was he active in the struggle against slavery in other ways?
Darwin wasn't very active in anything once he had left London. He stayed largely out in the country. This is where he wrote his books, he raised his family. He dealt with the world at arm's length by correspondence. He came into London now and again, and he did some research and he went back. He was a very private man, partly because he was a very sick man. Yeah. And that also delayed his publication, The Origin of Species. He knew that he could publish sooner than he did. And he finally thought the time was right, about 1856. And he started working on an enormous book. Yeah. And he would have kept working past 1860, probably. And then, as you recognize, Alfred Russel Wallace sends him an essay. He realizes he thinks that it's the same theory as his. He has to get there first. So he takes that big book and he crushes it down into what is now The Origin of Species. And it comes out in 1859, and he leaves humans out of it. Humans had always been in the book. He takes them out because he still didn't have enough evidence to convince the world.
I find it puzzling that if he really was against slavery, he didn't do anything other than just work on this evolution theory.
We have evidence in this book because we've gone back and read the family papers of how strongly Charles and Emma felt, they and their friends, about these issues. Darwin was a sick man, and he didn't join public demonstrations. He finally does give his name publicly and politically to prosecuting a governor for murdering blacks. Privately, he also funded people who were going to Africa. The whole family was funding anti-slavery organizations for decades. Darwin had to be very careful because in his day, it was not right for science to be seen as political any more than it is in our day. But of course it was. It was deeply political. It always is political. Mm-hmm. So in order not to compromise his reputation, he had to be careful here.
Yeah. Now, you tell the story from our viewpoint, but in the times of Darwin, they didn't have the fossils, human fossils. They didn't know the ancestry of people. So his evolution theory could have given arguments to the slave traders, because they could say, you see, black man is a step between the apes and the white people. So did he take that into consideration?
You're right. The human fossils only became available after Darwin had published The Origin of Species. In fact, hard evidence of human antiquity was only widely available after the 1850s. So there is this problem. How do you bridge the gap between chimpanzees, say, or orangutans, and people of dark colors, particularly in Africa? Darwin believes that humans came from old world monkeys. That means from Africa. So Darwin already has guessed that African origins, we're all Africans, but he can't establish that because Richard Leakey hadn't been born, Louis Leakey hadn't been born. There was a lot of conviction underlying his work where there wasn't evidence. You can't specify every step of evolution, every twig on the evolutionary ancestral tree, but he felt certain that all of this would be found piecemeal eventually, and it was.
Yeah, but still, in his times, his theory could have been hijacked by the slave, the people he was opposing to.
Well, his theory couldn't be hijacked by people who believed that the human races were separate species. Darwin was taunted and challenged to come out and support the latest anthropology. The latest anthropology in the 1860s was saying we have hard data proving that blacks from Africa and white Europeans are so different. They're as different as two different species of animals. They are different species. And Darwin, at that point, finally decides to publish on human origins and the origins of the races. He's aware of that challenge. It's possible, it's always possible in Darwin's day to believe in evolution and not believe that the races are members of one family. It's possible to believe that there are separate trees growing up, and therefore the orangutans are not necessarily related to the chimpanzees, the black man or the brown man, not to the white man. Yet all have come from separate lines of evolution. Darwin says, no, there is one ancestral tree. Mm-hmm. We're all related to one ancient ancestor. Yeah. That sets him apart from all the other evolutionists.
Yeah. And then Darwin essentially replaced the anthropocentric creationism by an anthropocentric evolutionism. So to speak, the world where everything is created in function of human by the an evolution that leads to humanity. Well, but that isn't true, right?
No, but Darwin didn't. He didn't believe that nature was aiming for human beings.
But still, when classic evolutionary tree is designed, you have the final branch is humanity.
It's true. Darwin does draw a tree in the 1860s before he publishes on human origins, in which there is a tree. And humans are up at the top of the tree, all the human race is a bunch of twigs, but also at the top of the tree are the baboons and the orangutans and so forth. They're at an equal level, they're not above. These have all come up at the same time. It's part of the bush, at the edge of the bush, of the humans and the existing orangutans and chimpanzees. But the radical case would be, and someone like Stephen Jay Gould would make it, that actually humans might be down here at the bottom of the bush.
But did he think about that, or couldn't he think of a world where humans weren't the top of the evolution?
No, I think Darwin was a man of his time in that respect. Yeah. Darwin believes, you know, even though natural selection doesn't promise progress, Darwin himself believes in progress. He believes that things are getting better all the time. In the future, lots of races, lots of primates will have died out. Our descendants will be so much superior to ourselves, and there will be this huge gap between a very low human being, such as an Englishman today, and the very highest of the primates, a baboon, a monkey, and all the intermediates, the orangutans, the chimpanzees, the bonobos, the Australian Aborigines, the savages in South America, all those races will have died out. Now that, you know, progress costs lives, but we don't believe that we to lose biodiversity like that is appalling for us. Darwin accepts it as part of evolutionary progress.
And final question, did he succeed? Did his work contribute to the abolishment of slavery?
Slavery was outlawed and abolished all over the world at different times for different reasons.
Yes.
I haven't found any evidence that Darwin's theory theories had any significant relationship to that. Slavery still exists. We have it today in all sorts of forms. Industrial slavery, sexual slavery. Slavery is always with us, always has been, alas. And if anything, Darwin's theorizing about the assumption about some races being higher than other races, even within one human family, contributed to the view that some are therefore naturally subordinate and slaves to others, even though Darwin hated that.
Okay, thank you for your interview.